have your Bible. And as always, if you don't have a Bible with you or you don't have it on your phone or whatever, we will have it on the screens for those of you here in the sanctuary. And if you're watching us online, we'll have the verses as well. So let's dig in. Psalm 67, we continue this theme of book two of the Psalms. There's a theme for each of the books of the Psalms. And the theme here we're talking about is deliverance. Deliverance from our current state, our current life, what's going on right now. We're not in a state of everything's great. You know, you just go outside and check it out. You could just go online and you could see that things are not the way that they are going to be in the future. And there is a future hope for the future kingdom of God. That's what book two of the Psalms is about. And we're right in book two here. Psalm 67, though, is prophetic. It's a very prophetic psalm. Again, we think of the Psalms as nice songs, and they are, but they are also prophetic pieces of Scripture. And so it's speaking prophetically about this time in the future. Psalm 67 is directly. The Jewish commentary on the Tehillim, the Psalms specifically, talks about how Psalm 67 speaks of an ingathering of all the exiles of Israel. You know, Israel is still very much exiled. We're out in the diaspora here in the United States and all over the world. And there is this diaspora that has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And Psalm 67 speaks about an ingathering of the diaspora back to Israel, the exiles to Israel. It also speaks about, again, this is all normative Jewish commentary here, speaks about this future war of Gog and Magog, you know, that you hear about, Gog and Magog. And it's looking forward to the state of the world during the days of Mashiach. This is what the Jewish commentary says, during the days of Mashiach. And so this is a time in the future where God will be one and his name will be one. We sang it today. But I want to point this out here, and this is very interesting because the Hebrew Bible has a lot of poetry, a lot of beautiful parallelisms and poetry. And what you see on the screen, and I think it's also on the live stream screens, if you're watching us at home or for wherever you're watching, there is this structure to Psalm 67, much like some of the other Psalms and parts of the Bible. It's a poetic structure. It's called a chiastic structure. And it's written in this particular style. It's a literary pattern of parallel ideas or items. Now, in this case, the way that Psalm 67 is written, the way you can understand it, is it's written in an A, B, C, B, A pattern, if you kind of can think through this. Where, and if you look at the screen, you can see this. Verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 are the A. And they're the first kind of level of the psalm. It's the first and the last part of the bookend, so to speak, of the psalm. And there's one theme that's there. We're going to talk about that. But then as you move to the third and fifth, the middle verses of the psalm, you get to the second theme, the second idea in the chiastic structure. And then when you get to verse 4, it's the heart. It's the centerpiece of the psalm. And that is where it all crescendos up to. That is the C structure. So it's A, B, C, B, A of the psalm. It's beautifully arranged and poetic, and again, it ultimately points us to that time where God will be reigning over all of the earth. It's exciting to think about that. So let's begin with the first part of the chiatic structure here. If you go to the first two verses, if you just go to Psalm 67, if you have it, or you'll see it on the screens, I'm going to read the first two verses and then the last two verses, the A part of the psalm. Verses 1 and 2, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Now we go to 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us that all the ends of the earth fear him. Do you see how it's different wording, but it's the same theme? And there's two themes happening here. In the first and the sixth, it is this prayer from the psalmist about his people Israel, about the Jewish people. And he's saying, and we're going to dig into this now, in verse 1, let's just look at verse 1 here, because this kind of illustrates it. we see this prayer word structure where we see, God, please bless us. Be gracious to us. Make your face shine down on Israel. Your face shine on Israel, Lord. And these are very specific things that the psalmist says. And the intended recipients of the psalm, which were the Jewish people at that time, thousands of years ago, they would have immediately recognized this specific wording that the psalmist is giving when they read it. So if you turn to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27, you're going to see these same words used in this very famous passage of Scripture. Numbers 6, starting with verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Did you see the same wording there? Psalm 67, the different words, and Numbers 6. This should sound very familiar to us, of course, because it's the what we would call the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. It's part of the Amidah, which we just said a few minutes ago. It's tacked on with, to one of the last prayers. And it's a specific and a special prayer that the Kohanim would say. Who are the Kohanim? They're from the tribe of Levi. And within the tribe of Levi, they are this specific group set of Levites that are the priests that were supposed to bless Israel from this Numbers 6 commandment of God to Aaron, who was the first high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, and his sons, and then after. So it's a very specific thing here. Now, what's interesting about this is, and we could talk about this for a while, but it's all about the Kohanim blessing the people. Now, when the cantor gets up here and says it, they are not necessarily Kohanim, so they're not going to do certain things. They're not going to do the full blessing, so to speak, because that's reserved for Kohanim. Now, when we have Kohanim come and do it, it is done a little bit differently. Like we mentioned Rabbi Schiffman earlier. He's a Kohen. He's one of the Kohanim. So when he comes to Kol Mashiach, he comes up and blesses us. And there's this famous hand signal. You're all going to know it when I do it, right? Let me see if I can do it. It's this, right? You know the symbol. The very famous hand signal that the Kohanim use when they bless the people. We don't do it in here because I'm not a Kohen, so I don't do it. But the point about it is, and of course you'll all recognize it, right? Because this is what Spock used on Star Trek, right? This is Spock's live long and prosper. Where did Spock get it? Well, the guy that played Spock, the original actor, Leonard Nimoy, was Jewish. And when he was a kid in the synagogue, he would go and he would see the Kohanim making that symbol and blessing the people with the Aaronic blessing over the congregation. The idea here is that God wants to bless Israel. Psalm 67, number 6. God wants to bless his people Israel. So that's the first part. However, remember, it's prophetic. So we move on past this because biblically and prophetically, the blessing of Israel, according to Scripture here in Psalm 67, the blessing of Israel is followed by God's ways and his saving power extending out past Israel to the nations, extending to the entire earth, verse 2 of Psalm 67. This is God's ultimate plan. It's always been God's ultimate plan for humanity. We see this prophetic picture all played out in Psalm 67. Now, there's other scriptures that corroborate this and, of course, talk about these themes of God not only blessing his people Israel, but blessing the whole world through Israel. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Another very prophetic book of the Bible is the book of Isaiah, who prophesied 2,700 years ago. Isaiah 49, 6 says this. He says, God says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Do you see how that is paralleling Psalm 67, where God's saving power is going out through Israel to the nations? This was always God's intention right from the beginning. And of course, this scripture here in Isaiah speaks about Mashiach, the anointed one to come, who would bring that salvation to the ends of the earth. This was always, like I said, God's intention. God took, in the beginning of our Bibles, God took this man, Abram. He took him from his people. He took him from his land, which was a land in Saudi Arabia, a place called Ur, called him out of the paganism of that city, and brought him to a new land and revealed himself as the one true God to Abram, who would later become Abraham. Now, he is called the father of nations, Abraham. That's what it means. Certainly, he's the father of the Jewish people. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Because Abraham was his God. But he's also the father of all nations. And I want you to listen to, John talked about in his drash, the covenants of God. One of the first covenants in the Bible is the Abrahamic covenant. And within the Abrahamic covenant is housed all of the other covenants. But interestingly, we go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and we read about this prophetic thing that God talked about all the way back in Genesis about how the nations would be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God speaking to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, to him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, the first part of that verse is, of course, the Jewish people. Bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. We hear about that all the time. We talk about it all the time. But there is a last part to verse 3. And in you, through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So through Abraham's seed, the seed of Abraham, came Mashiach, came Yeshua. And through him, all the earth was blessed. All the families of the earth, all peoples, all nations will be blessed through the Jewish people. And we talked about the Isaiah scripture and how this anointed one comes and fulfills that. So when it says in verse 2 of Psalm 67 that God's saving power will be among the nations, this comes into play that the Mashiach, we know, we have seen this. 2,000 years ago, Yeshua came as Mashiach. The message of Yeshua the Messiah has then been taken from Zion and it has gone out to the nations throughout the earth. If we look, you can turn to Acts chapter 26. There's many scriptures to talk about this. I'm just going to pick out one here. Acts chapter 26, verse 23. The Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, he was tasked as his ministry in life. He was tasked to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That's his specific ministry that he had. And he went to many places. And there's a scene in chapter 26 towards the end of the book of Acts where Paul comes before King Agrippa of Judea. And listen to what Paul says to the king. Acts 26, 23. He's speaking to him. He says that the Messiah must suffer and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people, the Jews, and to the Gentiles. So we see one by one, Scripture talks about this idea in Psalm 67, this prophetic fulfillment of the Gentiles, the nations, realizing and receiving the salvation of Yeshua. All right, now let's continue in Psalm 67. That was the outer layer, part A, first couple and last couple verses. Now we get into more of the middle part of the chiastic structure here of Psalm 67. I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 5. Psalm 67, verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. See how it's the exact same wording there. Second theme, the B part of the verses in this structure. Remember, the Lord will repeat things, as we saw earlier, holy, 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 because he wants to emphasize things in Scripture. So we see that the Lord wants to repeat this for us and emphasize this, that Israel's relationship with God, or said another way, God's care for his people Israel causes blessing, causes salvation for the nations. And now the prophet, or the psalmist, cries out, who is a prophet here, and he's crying out, he's singing out for all the people over all the earth to now praise God, to praise him like Israel has praised him all of these years. This is a common thematic current that runs throughout the entire Bible. Go to Psalm 117. Psalm 117 It's a really short, it's probably one of the shortest psalms, I would think. Probably the shortest psalm. Psalm 117, I'm going to read the whole thing. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his chesed, his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. This sounds like something that God would be speaking to Israel in a lot of the psalms. But here he is saying, commanding the nations to praise him. Praise the Lord, all of you nations. The response of the nations when they're given this gift of salvation is to turn around and praise their God, to praise their Creator. This is something the nations have not done historically, right? By and large, we see this in pockets of things. We can go to different countries in the world and we can find believers in Yeshua praising God, congregations of people that are worshiping and praising God. But it's not the entire earth. It's not the entire nation. It's not all peoples. This is still pointing us to the future. It's prophetic, speaking about a future time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. The prophet Isaiah prophesied about this future time when things are going to happen like this. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to this. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days, that's prophetically in the end days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth Torah, the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the message of Yeshua, it began 2,000 years ago, going out from Zion. Yeshua had his earthly ministry all throughout the land of Israel. And then from there, his disciples, very quickly, I would add, spread it to all places. We know we have accounts of the disciples going to far reaches of the world, India and Asia, and of course, the Apostle Paul going as far as Rome in the known world at that time. So quickly, it spread out. Yeshua gave this charge to his disciples, this prophetic idea in Psalm 67. And listen to what he says at the end of the book of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28:19. Right before he ascends to heaven, he gave this charge to his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So all nations, all peoples will praise God and learn of God, Isaiah chapter 2, and be disciples and followers of Yeshua. And that has gone out and continues to go out. Now we get to the heart of the psalm, the inner part of this psalm, the central theme. It's part C of the chiastic structure, what it all kind of comes to. So if we turn to Psalm 67, verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and you guide the nations upon earth. This is what it all comes to. The peoples have turned to him prophetically. But the final step is where God will now rule over the people, judge the people. They'll be under his dominion. They'll be under his kingship and under his kingdom. And therefore, he has authority to and will judge all of them. He has been the king of Israel. We talk about this all the time in our liturgy. If you think of the Rosh Hashanah service, right? One of the major themes is the kingship of God. If you think about the Amidah prayers, the central prayer of Judaism, the Amidah, when we come before the king, right at the beginning of it, we take three steps back, we take three steps forward, it's because we're coming into the presence of the king. So we know this. We do this all the time. God is the king. But remember, this is for a time yet to come where all of the world will then bow before the king. And we go to what's current, and then we go to what will be. Because what's current right now is not that. Psalm 2, verse 1. Listen to this. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Now, this sounds more like what's going on out there in the world right now, right? Because the nations are not following God. They're not worshiping God en masse, and they're raging. Nation is going against nation. Nation is going against God. Peoples are plotting in all of these nations, and they're not good things that they're plotting. They're evil, evil desires. So this is where we are now, and we have to go to a certain place scripturally, and that, and we read it in our liturgy, we'll read it again, Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 9. We go from that to, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one, and his name one. And this is where all humanity, all the nations, all peoples will be under his dominion and will bow down to him as king. So Psalm 67 gives us this glimpse, prophetic glimpse of what can be. As we're sitting here today, it's amazing that a psalm that was written 3,000 years ago, is still not yet fulfilled in our lifetime. Maybe it will be in our lifetime, I don't know. But it's still not fulfilled as of February 2026. But may it be fulfilled soon. Because what we're at today is not where we're going to end up. Today the nations are raging, they're plotting, they're sinning. And it's hard to see the future when it seems like the dominion of the world is over the prince of this air of the world, which is the enemy, Hasatan. But the word tells us in Psalm 67 that one day the nations will be all under God and that he will be sovereign over the whole earth. We pray for that day, Lord, and we wait for that day. Let's go to him in prayer as we close. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for this prophetic picture. We know we're not here yet, Lord, but may we exercise faith. Faith is believing without seeing it. We can't see it with our physical eyes, Lord, but we believe it with our spiritual eyes. And Lord, we have that hope to know one day you will rule and reign, not over just Israel, your people, not over just the believers in Yeshua, the followers of Yeshua that we have today, but over the entire earth. We wait for that day, Lord God, and we look in hope to the future. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen.